Hello, you're listening to a podcast of the best bits of Breakfasters with Mon, Bron and Daniel. For this week, ending Friday the 10th of July 2026, you can catch us live on Triple R every weekday morning from 6 till 9 a.m. broadcast on Wurundjeri Country. Coming up on the pod this week, we had a week off and I saw some pretty cool birds and Bron did something too.
And our favourite football tragic and former Breakfaster Tony Wilson joined us for a World Cup update. And I got a front row seat to Craigie Byrne dance troupe, The Magnificent Ladies.
Breakfaster's own MasterChef Emma Dean sings the praises of the trusty slow cooker. And Friday funny bugger and educator Irvi Majumdar laments the quality of illicit notes being handed around in class.
Triple R.
So we're back from the break. Anyone get up to anything interesting?
I went to a different... I added a new zoo.
A new zoo?
Like, well, went to Healesville Sanctuary, yeah.
How was it?
It was so good. And I saw the bird show and it was pissing down the whole time.
The birds still put on a show?
The birds are amazing. Also, it was my three-year-old and my baby. I'm impressed. I was like, if they're not bothered by this, then I can't be. And we just sat there and got soaked and watched this predator bird called Bernice crack an egg open with a rock and then the owl went right past her. It's amazing.
God, Bernice is an old duck.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I wonder if it's the same Bernice. It must be. It wasn't a duck.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a sanctuary I recommend. It was beautiful.
And they, what's the, they gaslight Bernice into thinking the egg is a rock or something? Or?
No, it's a, there's no gaslighting. And they said, we didn't train her to do this. She just knows how to do
gaslight. Ha ha, Bernice, that was your egg.
Now you're going to jail. No, it's like a prop emu egg. And then she can't crack it open with her beak. Embarrassing. So she goes and grabs a rock and cracks that open, cracks open with that.
Nice. Bernice is using tools.
Yeah. Bernice is, she's pretty impressive. Power bird. Anyway, so that was
What about, can I, sorry to ask, swooping?
Yeah, lots of swooping. Ow, right near my face. Loved it. And then all these different cockatoos. Rudy was really impressed. Rudy's 3.5. Mm-hmm. And to learn about all, how there are all these different coloured cockatoos.
And I was
like, the pink one.
Galah.
No, the pink, cockatoo,
pink cockatoo
with like red in its crown.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I recommend going down there if you can.
But what's the, I thought cockatoos were a dime a dozen.
Yeah, but all different kinds. There's black ones and.
Are they part of the bird show?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. You're like, oh, I could just go down to like Yarra Bend and see them. Boring. But then they make up for it with like. This other little thing that hovers. And anyway, it's really cool. And
all
even
right.
In the rain, it was really good. And it's a great zoo experience. So that's probably my heart. I also had a birthday.
Oh, of course.
Now I'm older.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Just waiting for you to say it. It's fine. It was really good.
God, we said it last week. We sang a song. It's a week later. It never ends.
I know. Well, I'm just saying. Yeah.
And that was a fancy dinner.
And then went out to, had a voucher for Flower Drum. Oh, it's fancy. Mm-hmm. So glad I wasn't paying for that. And I was surprised to see families at Flower Drum. Like, out for, I think it looked like a girl's maybe 8th birthday. I was like, God, this is not
never.
An extra large Hawaiian at Sophia's like I would have gotten if I...
and been happy about
yeah.
Is Sophia still around?
I think so. They don't have any more drive-by shootings.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's a pizza restaurant that donates a lot of money to the Good Friday Appeal. Okay. They always put it on their window. We donated this much this year. Flower Drum don't do that. So, yeah.
Is that a birthday that the parents want? And not like a, no 8-year-old is requesting
it's like
Flower Drum.
Well, they're probably getting like dumplings and fried rice and stuff. So I feel like, yeah, maybe. Anyway, they're very well behaved, so I didn't complain.
Yeah. Crikey.
I think it's like how fancy a restaurant is should have like one of those you must be this tall to ride.
Yeah, well, I was like, I walked in, I was like, kids here, excuse me, what? But it was fine. I mean, they're not running people. I think you take your kids to Flower Drum, I assume you tell them, hey, this is, you can't just like run around and you're not eating chips. Anyway, it was really good.
It sounds like the speech you gave them when you walk in and go, hey. Okay, hey.
I'm here to celebrate my birthday yeah. And I'm an adult.
There's no chips.
And we're not paying for this.
Everybody knows this already, but when I'd imagine it was just shocking to me in Glasgow, ordered Chinese food and a big bag of chips came.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they It, the Chinese is weird.
The spice bag, right?
Spice bag? Is that Irish?
Is that what it's called?
Oh, that's Irish. Where it's like, spice bag is like chips with curry seasoning and chili and stuff.
There's other stuff in there. I don't know what it is.
But then in Glasgow or Scotland, generally, they'll do like, you'll get noodles.
And chips.
With chips and...
I mean, I'm all for a melting pot.
Yeah.
But you've gone too far.
It's called fusion. What are you so afraid of?
Well, they've also got baked beans with the KFC, which is off.
What?
Oh, what?
Mm. Yuck. Disgusting.
Baked beans on the side of your fried chicken.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Does that mean they don't have potato and gravy?
Mm-mm.
They've got baked beans instead of potato and gravy.
Oh, no. Shut it down.
It's so British and disgusting. Why don't you have a big glass of milk on the side as well? Absolute feral.
Iron brew.
Well, I've got news. I got engaged.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I feel like.
I want to go back to talking about spice bags.
Yeah, but the spice bag.
See, now Lenny's laying in it. Shut up. Bring it to me.
Come on, I've got news. This is really dragging. And the cockatoos. Okay.
You shouldn't have asked. You should have said, I got news.
You're allowed to be honest. Did you suspect this might happen?
No, I had no idea. We did go away. We went to Dunkeld in the Grampians just for a couple of days, and Liz proposed one morning in trackies, so I did not know. I'd always thought if there was going to be a proposal, she'd want like a full face of makeup and do photos and stuff.
Go a bit glam,
but she went out, got some pastries at the bakery, came back, the ring box was in the pastries.
Wow.
And then she was mute.
And so you say, did the baker leave this ring box here by accident?
Did you win a prize?
Do you mean she was mused and she didn't ask?
Yeah. I just opened it up and I was like, what is this? And then it took a minute. She went, marry me.
Wow. That's amazing. Was this the morning after the big dinner?
The morning before the big dinner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So then we went to Wickens and had a very nice meal. And they, when we walked in, they were like, we hear you're celebrating with us.
Nice.
So this was like, oh, thank God I did it. She had been chickening out. She was going to do it before we went, as like so that we could have the whole time down there to celebrate. And but she kept chickening out. And also I wasn't being very cooperative because she kept suggesting detours when we were going somewhere. She'd be like, why don't we grab a drink at this nice bar on the way? And I'd be like, well, why don't you get out of the house sometime? Because we're already late. So yeah. No, we're not stopping. And so she had this ring burning a hole in her pocket for about a week or so. And then did it in the pastries.
Where'd she hide it in the lead up?
Yeah, do you know where she'd been keeping it?
In her camera bag.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So she did keep going, do you know what? I'm going to bring my camera. And I'm like, oh, man. Can we just leave already? She's an impossible person to get out of the house.
And the morning, is it unusual for Liz to disappear for a pastry run?
Absolutely.
Oh.
But I was like, just shut up, Bronwyn. Just enjoy it. Let her get the pastries. Because she was really like, you know what? I'm going to go to the bakery.
I just had
you
a thought. Stay in just bed. At the top of my head. I hadn't planned this.
You stay in bed and I'll go get everything. I'll come back. And it was like raining outside. I was like, oh, okay. Great.
Yeah.
Great. But then she came back and she was like, I'm just going to take a photo of the pastries. And she was like faffing about on the balcony taking, and I was like, which is something she would do. And I was like, God, I'm so hungry. Pastries.
Photos with the pastries is something that she would do.
That is something she would do. Yeah, with the view in the back. And I was like, God, I don't even know what we're going to do with this photo. It's like, take this photo. We'll never look at it ever again. And then came in. And that was it.
Amazing. Wow. Did it fit?
It did. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
this
did
is the other thing.
Amazing.
It did fit. You're not going to believe this story. I don't wear a lot of jewellery, so she didn't have another ring to, like, take as a reference. So she had, this is so psycho, but she ordered this ring sizing thing online. It's arrived. She has one of those, like, has an Apple Watch she got me to wear when I slept. And she was like, you should wear it so you can
track your sleep.
And then she worked out when I was in my deepest sleep, roughly.
Oh, my God.
And then was sizing, getting my ring size.
What the hell?
In my sleep.
That's amazing.
So you'd be asleep and then she would like, what, set her alarm and just touch your fingers. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So the ring fits. So she went to that much trouble.
How are you supposed to do it? How do people do it? Do they wrap a string around you? Or?
Yeah, it was this weird, it's like a, what are those plastic little...
Like a cable tie.
It was like a cable tie that had like measurements on it.
Mm. What if she'd woken up when she's doing that?
Well, she found the deep. She knew my deepest sleep.
Yeah, but it would just be like, am I under arrest? What are you sticking on my finger?
What are you doing? She had one of the cats, so if I stirred, she just threw the cat in my hand, and then she could be like, "It was the cat woke you up."
Jeez.
It was...
She should be a spy. Maybe she's a spy.
Maybe she is a spy. Yeah.
God.
Maybe she's giving all of my data to, I don't know who. But,
How long ago was that?
The sleep.
The
sleep thing a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay.
A few weeks.
And then you're like, oh, but can I keep wearing your watch? Because I love tracking my sleep. She's like, no, job is done.
Yeah, no, you can't know. I was like, but it was bad. I need to...
So she'd be like getting up in the middle. Oh, I just find that amazing.
Well, she goes to bed quite late anyway. Mm-hmm. So she just stayed up too. And I go early. Mm. So it was perfect.
And so then...
It is a weird feeling. I had no clue. I felt nothing.
You felt nothing?
No. Oh, when she was... With the ring. No, not when she proposed.
Let's go to a song quick.
Anyway.
I forgot to say it. I said no.
Yeah. No, the ring fits. I am taking it back.
Triple R. Fresh from the FIFA World Cup, we're fortunate to be joined IRL by a novelist, filmmaker, speechifier, children's book author and Renaissance man, Tony Wilson. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you so much. Yes, I've been back so recently that the top is probably still smelling
of
the World Cup for you. Because despite the fact that I did a lot of washes, we go through our green and gold gear on tour. This one I don't think has had the pleasure of a wash. So.
But it did the heat. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you have the time of your life?
I did. It really is. I was just talking about this with one of my travelling mates this morning as we texted each other watching Spain, Portugal. No spoilers, everyone. I'll save you the wake-up pleasure. But it's euphoric. Like, he's so happy. And there's so many things that were wrong with that tournament going in to the point where one of my other great travelling companions, Francis Leach, he pulled out. But we went. And every game we went into the stadium, there is a feeling of being on the day of your life. Mm. I went with my 19-year-old daughter this time, and she says, this might be the happiest moment of my life.
Oh, wow.
As we were standing up before the Paraguay game and the songs were playing. And it makes you say, because people must look at what I put on Instagram and things like that, and you think, well, are you some sort of patriotic nuffy when it comes to, do you become an oi, oi, oi guy? But it's not really that. It's not sort of the sheer patriotism of it. It's the sense of a collective wave of euphoria. And these assholes at FIFA have just, they have this thing right. Like the match day experience, no matter whether I went to a neutral game as well, and it's one of the days of my life watching Norway play the Ivory Coast. And you sort of can't believe, why is this so great? Yeah, but it just is.
They know how to put on a show?
And actually, one of the things I think they do is that there's the marketing in it. Obviously, they're the biggest money grubs that the world has ever known. But that you're not actually assaulted when you arrive at the ground. There's actually, they cover up the names of stadiums because they're not affiliate sponsors or whatever. And you can, yeah, but you're not sort of hit with all the time someone talking at you. You do actually get music and this sort of orchestral voices and crowds, and it is just a very collective and beautiful feeling coming in.
Is that why Trump lobbying the FIFA head about the red card is especially egregious?
Oh, it's not everything. So that just, like, when you think of the trifecta of Infantino and Trump and FIFA and the World Cup in Saudi Arabia, and the previous World Cups have been in Qatar, Russia. Like, you've got to go back to about 2002 to not get a despotic regime. So they have all this capacity to disappoint. And yet the product is so good.
Mm.
And there's something, I was saying this to my mate as well, Cam, but there's something so intuitive about the game. Like, some people might not be football or soccer people, but really apart from the offside rule, everything about watching football and soccer is intuitive. And I think that drags a lot of people along with the nervousness and the excitement that, you know, you're not just sort of watching going, what the hell's going on here? Which might happen if people, like if outsiders came and watched AFL, it would be bewildering to see.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
What about you were there in Dallas. What's it feel like to be there for a loss?
Yeah, so it's flattening. You sort of just feel sort of sad and empty as the goal went in. But at the same time, it was kind of like, oh, we were 50-50 going in, and Egypt were pretty good. And so there was not. I also had a flight booked on points, and I've had my wife looking after Jack, who's in the studio with me, and also two other kids, probably doing a trip with me. But there was a sense probably I should take this flight home, and yet I knew that if we went through and we were playing Messi, I was going to disappoint everyone.
Was Angus Sampson over there with you?
Yeah, Angus Sampson. It's our ex-breakfaster. It was like a reunion. Angus Sampson, who's now, like, it was interesting walking into the stadium with him because I got him tickets to the Paraguay game. No, sorry, to the Egypt game. And he flew over from Hollywood. But just to see how big he is. Like, I sang him a song as he left Breakfasters that was to Gus the Magic Actor to Puff the Magic Dragon. And the last line of it was that, but I'll be there beside you when you win a Golden Globe. I might have timed it quite well. Give him a gift a couple of years out from him winning an Oscar.
Oh,
and
my God.
I'll be there on the red carpet. Yeah, but he's so funny, as people know. And it was a really good few days with him and his sons. And Dallas, I stood on the grassy knoll. I spent an hour on the grassy knoll just
soaking it in.
And that's another nice thing about World Cups is that you deviate between the days. So you get these sort of euphoric match days, and then, you know, I backflipped off a bridge in Yosemite and and I went to the grassy knoll in Dallas.
So they haven't paved it. It's there.
No, it's just a sort of a, it's right near where the Zapruder film was shot. And so there's sort of a plaque to Zapruder. And then you're looking down on where he was hit. And do you know, this is weird though. They've put an X on the road where he got hit.
Okay.
And you're like,
for further investigation.
Target practice.
Just feels like over catering to the tourists.
Because you can go up in the room where he shot him from.
Yeah, you can go there, the book depository.
It's not tasteful like FIFA would have done.
No, FIFA would have not allowed such tacky marketing. No, they would have. FIFA would have moved it to some despotic country.
Judge entry.
But, it was that was a pretty interesting day. And went to Hollywood and went to San Francisco and... Yeah, it was just overall, we were really lucky to get the Pacific Northwest. It was a great, great tourist area.
Do you think we'll have one? When is Australia going to get our turn? We'd be so good at hosting them.
We'd be so good here. I was one of the saddest days was finding when Qatar won. Mm. And we remember we spent our $60 million and we got one vote. Mm. Remember that? So we were trying to do our bit by bribing and we got... we spent $60 million on bribes.
You don't get your bribe back, do you?
It was kind of a scandal. Look at Lowy's, put $60 million of the FFA's money into trying to bribe his way to the World Cup. We got one vote. Not even good at it. But this would be the best country. Oh, not the best, but it would be a very good country for a World Cup, And we would embrace it. And even to see America, and the crowds are bigger for Mexican games in America at the moment than they are for the US games.
Mm.
But that isn't to say that the Americans aren't into it. Like, they're so pleased you're there. Like, so much, you know, hugs and slaps on the back and free beers and all that sort of stuff. They want to offer us an occasional beer because the ones in the stadium are $23 US or $31 for a beer in the stadium.
What beer is it?
It's called Ultra. What's that?
Oh, it's right.
It is.
So not even something we know.
I can't tell whether they're light. They put light on everything. I think they're not light when they say
that
light.
That light means like it's healthy.
Does it?
Like a carb or something, I think.
But I'm having a mental blank on what it's called.
But did you get the impression that the players appreciate you guys?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to. So the Australian travelling fans are pretty good. And, you know, we were by the bus as they went in and singing our songs, like, what was one of one? You Married Your Brother, You Married Your Brother, Cleopatra, You Married Your Brother. That was a song, a chant that was going on while they were driving in. And, yeah, but basically it's... It's amazing the levels of support for the players, and Australian players are probably lucky in the sense that there's quite a vocal and large crowd that can afford to travel to these things. It's probably tougher for the Ivory Coast. I noticed the disparity between the Norwegian fans and the Ivory Coast fans in that game in terms of numbers. But yeah, it's very much a vocal and happy crowd, and I think the players feel that benefit.
Do you get a sense of the pressure that they feel?
Oh, it was horrendous. I mean, we all got that, didn't we? I mean, I was sitting there with I broke my binoculars, and I think I told you that last time, and the lens fell under the seat at the first game in Vancouver. And so I was looking through my monocular, as I called it, because we lost the bifactor. So I was like a pirate just looking through my monocular, and I could just see this 18-year-old kid having to do this, and I just was like, I was sick for him. Just horrendous for Harrington, but you know, he'll be fine. And
impressive, he stood up.
Absolutely. So you did it, and someone had to do it, and all the criticism that goes to the coaches who make these decisions, it's just all hindsight. So these guys have been hitting penalties in training all week, and they were the ones chosen for a reason. It's not like he didn't think about it. And if the margins just go the other way a little bit, then he's a genius for all time. So, you know.
What about the teams? They all have different hubs, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you have a look at that?
No, so in Germany I did that. I visited the training facility and sort of got involved. I was definitely writing a book on that one. I'm not sure I'm writing one on this one. But we went to, I think my brother had tickets to training, and then we didn't go because he didn't work at he hadn't worked out that Oakland was quite as far from LA as it is, so it's like a 7-hour bus, and so we didn't use our tickets to training. But yeah, basically the hubs are all over the country, and once we were Pacific Northwest bound, I think they were at one of the colleges near Oakland, the Socceroos. So yeah,
I can't believe you've always got something going on. Can I ask what's coming up next?
So, I might write a book about this. I've sort of written some reports of the games. So I did Australia United in 2006. But and we've had a podcast. So if people want to hear the sounds of the World Cup, it's called World Cup Road Trip. And Cam Fink and I, who did the film Ange and the Boss together, he's cut together these lovely interviews and yellings and whatever else from the various games. And then my other, I think you're inviting this opportunity for me, which I appreciate, and that is that I'm doing a picture book. I've done, you know, 10 or 12 picture books before, but this one I'm not going with the publishers, and I'm trying to put it out myself and hoping that people will put their name in the back of the book, and you commit to two, you don't have to buy two copies, but you're committing to two copies when I get my arse into gear by the end of the year. And then I'll send them to you and you pay for them then, and they'll be about $30 plus postage each. So it'll be about $70 or $80 you're committing to. Get your name in the back of the book. It's called The Elephant in the Room, and it's about, I guess it's about an elephant that's in each room of the house. And it's about idioms on each page drawn into each the illustration.
When you nail a good rhyme, I know it can't compare with the euphoria of attending a World Cup, but when you nail a good rhyme, you go, yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Best one I ever did was in the, was in the Thirsty Flowers. Someone arranged a special report from Dr. Hydrangea. Arranged it, and Hydrangea was very happy with it.
Love that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, if you are going to write so you're just thinking about it, the World Cup book.
Yeah,
why is it so hard? Yeah, right.
So it'll be hard. I'd have to do a really.
But your
fast...
1989 grand final book is one of the best sports books of all time.
Thank you, Dan. That's why that's why I make you get me on say things like that. But no, I think I do have an ear for the fans and for what these experiences are. And, you know, I've been so lucky to do it. And I would just say to everyone, like, the next one is Spain. Before we cop Saudi Arabia, the next one is Spain, Portugal and Morocco. And it'll just be incredible.
Are you going to go to
that? The women are in Brazil next year. also going to be incredible.
My God.
And so, you know, these trips where you have, I think I would say you see the country at its best. It's trying hard, you know, and so those sort of hard days in countries where you don't talk to anyone and, well, wear your green and gold and walk around. And that's another rule we made each other. Polly used to laugh. My daughter was laughing because, what, are you still wearing your freaking top?
Childish.
Yeah, you're like 53 years old. With your bald head and your grey beard and you're limping around in your green and gold. But it's such a good invitation to, you know, I just spoke to everyone. I spoke to people from, you know, middle of Africa to, yeah, it's really a magnificent way to connect to the world.
All right, we'll let you get home and do the washing, wash your clothes.
So Tony Wilson, author, if you want to jump on and get your name in,
please.
The elephant in the room.
Yep, and Goodwin Wilson?
Goodwin Wilson is me writing shit every now and then. You can subscribe to that if you'd love to. I'd love you to. So, yeah, but you also get free stuff. I mainly don't put paywalls on them. So, yeah, I'll be writing one about the Egypt game in the next day or so.
Love it. Well, thank you for letting us live vicariously through you through an extraordinary time.
No worries. Thank you.
Cheers, Tony. Woo!
That's right. Triple R.
I went on the couple of weekends ago, I went to my friend's mum's 70th birthday.
That's nice.
And it was very nice. The highlight was the entertainment. Her mum, Juanita, Julie's mum, is in a dance group called the Magnificent Ladies.
Oh, my gosh. And I love this so much already.
It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. The Magnificent Ladies got up and they did a line dance to Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, my first ever favourite song.
Was it?
Yeah. When I was three.
It's catchy.
Crush. Oh.
Oh, mine was Katrina and the Waves Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, that's also classic.
Mm-hmm. But my favourite part about this performance was that before it, the MC was like, you're going to introduce yourselves. And what you would expect in this instance is someone would take the lead and they would get the microphone and go, we are the Magnificent Ladies. Happy birthday, Juanita. We're going to do a dance. But that didn't happen. There's about 20 of these ladies, maybe more. Every single one of them comes up to the microphone and says their name, says happy birthday. But what ended up happening was that, you know that game when you're in primary school and you go, I'm going to the supermarket and I'm buying an apple. And then the next person says, well, I'm buying an apple and an orange.
Mm.
Each one of them would add a detail and then it would, to the point where they were like giving their address and they're right. Hello, I'm Mary and I am 68 and I, happy birthday, Juanita, and I am from Craigieburn, and I am one of the Magnificent Ladies. And it was so
it
good.
Like weird pressure but stage fright sort of combined, and like they didn't have to get up and talk.
Like a Toastmasters challenge.
Yeah. They didn't have to get up and talk. Not stage fright. I got the impression they loved it.
Oh, I wasn't sure if it was like panic, like feeling the space.
No, I think like it just.
We all needed to know. If anything, Craigieburn.
The Craigieburn. Then people were getting. They were getting pretty fun with it. They were like, "Yeah, and I'm from Crazyburn." One lady came all the way up from Altona. She wanted to let everyone know that.
Oh wow, it's a long way from wherever you were.
Presumably Craigieburn.
Surprisingly not. A lot of people made, a lot of Magnificent Ladies in Craigieburn.
Who named the Magnificent Ladies? Themselves?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, so good.
And they had matching outfits.
Which were?
Which were these like mustard jumpers and matching scarves.
Oh, and pants? No.
No pants.
That's magnificent.
Yeah, they porky pigged it and it was incredible.
But did the biographical speeches go longer than the dance?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh. It took so long to get through.
Achy Breaky Heart goes for what, 3.5 minutes?
Yeah, they were going. The intro was the show.
Mm.
Forget about Achy Breaky Heart. It was all about the intro.
Did Juanita like it or was she like, get off the stage, it's my birthday?
She was up there. She danced as well.
Oh, then, but all the chat.
No, I think she loved it.
Yeah.
Because it was also, she got a happy birthday from everyone.
Yeah, okay.
Why do the crazy ladies...
Magnificent ladies
from Craigieburn.
Oh, it's been a Freudian slip there, Daniel.
But why are they all, given that Altona to Craigieburn is ages, like I can't imagine the peak hour traffic time.
It's for one meat, it's souvenir.
Yeah, but do they all meet every week?
Yes, they have a dance group and they meet up and from what Julie tells me, they dance and they gossip and there's drama and it sounds amazing. Mm. It's very aspirational. I think I hope I'm in A Magnificent Ladies when I'm 70. Mm. Mm-hmm. That's the dream, I think.
Is Julie the daughter your
Julie
friend?
Julie is my friend, yeah.
Oh, okay. And she loves it? She doesn't get like cringe?
No, she loved it.
Yeah, great.
How could you not?
Well, I don't know.
What about how would you choose what discipline or what style of dance? Because, I mean, there's belly dancing groups.
Mm, I think
I
just know one in particular where a similar thing happened.
A 70-year-old belly dancing troupe.
Basically.
Wow.
And what were you doing there?
I was the MC for them. The Magnificent Bellies.
I would maybe put this Zumba vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think there's we're not going into flamenco or okay. anything like that. But there was the priest came to the party as well, and one of the magnificent ladies was dancing pretty suggestively with the priest.
Uh-oh.
Which was, yeah.
Carmela Soprano vibes there. Mm-hmm. Soprano's deep cut for anyone. Should have crushed on a priest. How did he react? Did he love it?
He was into it, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well. Which was surprising because 15 minutes before, he was asleep.
Where?
Just at a table. Oh.
I mean, this is a good kind of party.
It was a great party.
Were you the only other young person there?
No, there was a group of us.
Kids table?
There was a kids table, yeah. It was a Filipino party, so the food was very good. Oh, so we're like, great. Yeah, we'll drop in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was amazing.
Is the show, did anyone flub? Think about, say, there'd be some dancing where it'd be like if someone missed a beat, it wouldn't matter. Mm. But like if they're boot scooting, is that what they were doing?
Something.
Then it looks, you can tell when they're out.
Mm. Yeah, Zumba, I feel like you could just do a bit of a wiggle.
Mm.
It was a bit of a wiggle. I mean, no, they looked great. I wouldn't have gone and hooked anyone. You're bringing them down. You're bringing the magnificent ladies down. How dare you?
Somebody got punted from a voluntary choir.
Someone you know?
Someone we know. I can't remember, but yeah, they...
Looking forward to finding that out.
You can, you know...
Ruin it for everyone else.
Exactly.
Yeah. It would be amazing if it was one of those pub choirs.
Well, I think that's what it sounds like it would have been. Where they go, all welcome, but not that. But you're very bad, aren't you?
Imagine if they just stopped. stop.
Okay, everyone's going to sing one note, and we're going to pick out the dead weight here. That is horrible.
It's like, you'd have to be so bad because there's no point of choirs you can hide behind.
Get drowned out.
Yeah.
I do remember doing, I mean, I loved choir at school. Does it show? And I, and doing it with one of my friends and just at one point turning to her and being like, thinking, oh my God, she is terrible. She was loving it, but she was so tone deaf.
Did you break it to her?
Nah, I didn't. Mm. I just, 20 years later, I'm damaging her rep somehow. But no, I remember thinking, oh, okay, you can tell. If you're the person standing next to the person who can't sing, it's distracting.
I was in choir in primary school. I can't sing, but everyone did it because we could get out of class. But because everyone got out of class, there was only two guys left in class. So they also got out of class and didn't sing.
Oh, they got the best deal.
They got the best deal. I was like, oh, damn.
I think I said they had to start their own barbershop duet.
No, they just sat there and they're like, bye.
I'm going to go play Cluedo.
I'm like, I've got to go sing Inchworm or whatever.
So Don't Break, why was that your favourite song?
Oh, You Break Your Heart?
Yeah.
There's home movies of me dancing to it on the coffee table when I'm three. I think I loved his mullet. And it sounds like a kid's song. Da 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 da. It's it's so simple. And who wants to have their achy breaky heart broken? No one.
Mm.
And it's a mantra I've carried with me on all my dates. Don't break
They were in your vows, right?
Yeah, it was. I said that. Mm. And I do, but also don't break my achy breaky heart.
Can I ask the point of the song? Is the idea that Billy Ray Cyrus,
he's like, I'm weak. I'm weak and I'm hurt and I'm bruised and I'm battered. I can't even remember anything other than the chorus.
But just from memory, it's like, well, you can tell, I don't know, the girl, you can tell all the people everything, but don't tell my heart.
I just don't think you'd understand, because if you don't know.
But he's referring to his heart in the third person.
Mm.
Is that right?
Like, he's just very good at compartmentalizing.
Yeah. Tell my head, not my heart.
It's in major denial. I'm not going to prop up Billy Ray Cyrus's denial.
It's not good for him.
He needs to face that this relationship is over.
And the magnificent ladies need to stop enabling him.
Exactly.
Melbourne's own Triple R.
I'm hungry. I want something to eat. Something with a crunch and very sweet.
It's a food interlude. It's nourishing, as always, to welcome into studio Emma Dean. Morning, Emma.
Good morning, Emma. How are you? This morning. Must bring food more often.
We've got a full meal ready to go.
Yeah, I've bought in some steel-cut oats. Mm. Cost of living. It's really good to make breakfast. You can save a lot of money. But last time I was on, I cracked out the food dehydrator. It was summer, had the summer fruits, mm-hmm. and now I'm cracking out, digging out the bin behind all the appliances. Not that you should have many, but you know, I have a few, and getting out the slow cooker and getting that back into fashion. If you haven't been using it, or you should get it out, because it's actually a really, really cost effective way to cook food, and it's good fun.
When did slow cookers properly come on the scene?
Well, funny you should ask that, Daniel. I did do a bit of deep diving into, when it did happen. So, the slow cooker, we've always been cooking food slowly over fire. It actually was invented by this guy called Irving Naxon, or Nashmuson, who was his Lithuanian name, in the 1940s. So, Lithuanian families usually prepared a traditional stew called sholent, by placing their pots in the warm ovens of the local bakeries overnight, allowing their food to cook slowly until the morning. So using that residual heat. And then this guy is like Irving Naxon, entrepreneur, inventor, went, I'm going to invent something like electricity is coming in. Let's do this, make an appliance. And so he made this thing. It's called the Naxon Beanery, which is designed to cook beans and other foods slowly over heat. And then the Naxon Beanery, gained popularity in the 1950s. We had all these, kind of mod cons coming in with electricity, and the 1950s, the age of, invention and plastic and all the other things. Women began to work and get paid in the workforce. And so the beanery was an appliance that you could set and forget, go out for your paid work and come back and have a thing on the table. And then Irving Naxon sold the patent to the rival company. It was called the rival company. I know. I'm like, am I reading this right? And in 1971, marketed the crock pot. So he renamed it, called it the crock pot.
Oh, I kind of liked beanery.
Yeah, I love the beanery. Too. Get the beanery out.
The knackery.
Yeah. I'll go to the knackery first. I'm there. And then the slow cooker, and then that was kind of... The slow cooker was born, or the crock pot. So you only see all those American recipes, I'll put it in your crock pot. I'm like, what is a crock pot? It's like, it's just a slow cooker.
Rightio. Mm-hmm.
It's just a trademark name. And then the rest is history. And so I think everyone's got them in their cupboard. My mum gave Pete and I a slow cooker when we moved to Anglesey. She's like, oh, you're going to have home-cooked meals now. And because we were...
Away from the city.
From the city, yeah. But you got to have to be a big girl now. So we didn't, and it was during lockdown, so we didn't have many takeaway options anyway. And we were doing heaps of work on an old rundown house. Mum's like, oh, you're going to have to, you won't have time to cook. But then it was lockdown, and so we did have time to cook. we all went into the kitchen, I think, I did. Making that sourdough, making the yogurt. Mm-hmm. Cinnamon buns. Do you want to do cinnamon buns?
Oh, yeah, not very well.
No. I can help. Sydney to cocktails. I learned how to make the Negroni and the espresso martini. Negroni
whiskey sour.
Yes.
Mm, beautiful.
Yeah, I did a whiskey sour actually once or twice, but I don't know off by heart. But
yeah, they got progressively more sour as the went on.
It's your touch to it. Yeah. But then, you know, embracing that slow cooked meal a bit when you're because we had the time, so that was kind of really fun. But the slow cooker is really great because, my 7-litre slow cooker is good enough to feed a small army, which I don't have. So it's good to have for leftovers or as the influencers, call it meal prep.
Leftovers sounds way less appealing than meal prep, doesn't it?
Leftovers, it's all just leftovers. It is, yes. Yeah, it's just like you cook up some food and you eat it for the rest of the week. Yeah. It's like leftovers. I got some leftovers. I did some leftover cooking last night. It's so good. It's been really good to make, you make up a stew or a curry on a Sunday and then you can have it for lunches the next week and save heaps of money because, like, you go out, you buy some lunch, like, I'm all for supporting small business, but, you know, you've got to also protect your purse sometimes. Go out for lunch, you don't come back with much left from $20. But what I have here is...
Not your typical slow cook, because you may make a lot of like ragus and stuff, and it's like, oh, it's all warm. You just passed us a jar of something.
It's warm.
So this is for breakfast.
This is for breakfast. So this is steel cut oats, and so you can do a big batch in your ceramic crock pot, but that creates a bit of a mess. You've got to kind of watch it. It's, you know, and the crock pot, look, I'm not going to lie, I don't love washing up dishes.
You do enough in the kitchen.
It's a big thing, you know, and you've got to, you know, wrestle it. So what you can do, you can put in, so this is, I did 4 servings. My serving's actually in my cup here, which I was eating in the car. and you can allocate, like, so it's 1 cup of steel cup oats. Creates 4 servings, and then you put in 1/4 cup in each jar, and then you put in a little, like a teaspoon of butter or 1/2 teaspoon of butter and water. And by doing that, you don't have to turn your crock pot on until, if you have a slow cooker that has a timer, you can put it on for timing to start like 3 hours before you wake up. If you're not that organized, you can do it like I did this last night, and then you can heat it up in the microwave.
Mm-hmm. So you're putting the jars in the...
Yeah.
Sort of. Oh, so it's like a bain marie kind of thing.
It's a bain marie. I love it. Bain marie or a double boiler, but a bain marie. So you put the jars in the crock pot, in your slow cooker. Crock pot's quite catchy, isn't it? With a beanery.
Put it in the beanery.
You put your jars in the beanery, and then you put water around it so it covers, goes right up the side of the jar. And then that slow heat just bubbles away. You don't have to think about it, worry about it. You don't have to check your pan to see. No stirring. You don't have to see if it's burning on the sides. And then you come back and you've got this amazing little pot of slow-cooked steel-cut oats. I did fancy them up a little bit and I put in some honey poached pears because it's seasonal.
It's so good.
And there's also some, if you want to make it, if you want to add some, I bought some yogurt in here as well. I'm going to have a little dollop. I've got the fancy stuff for you guys because I love you guys. So it's just a really great way. So I've been exploring how to do bain marie stuff in the slow cooker. Mm-hmm. And you could do like chocolate pots and all sorts of stuff. People do cakes in them and so you can get really, really enthusiastic about it. And what I like about them also, because I've lived in heaps of share houses where the ovens are really bad. And they don't work. So you can really adapt and use an appliance if you have it. If you don't have one, don't go buy one.
You see them at op shops a lot.
Yeah, I'll get one from the op shop.
Yeah.
I don't think you can break them. They're pretty bulletproof. so they should be good.
Can I ask why steel cut rather than regular oats?
Steel cut works really well in the slow cooker. And I bought a packet in here. So for a packet, it costs $8 from one of the major supermarkets. You'll probably get it cheaper somewhere else. Is $8, but it gives you 25 serves. So each serve is 32 cents.
Wow.
Which I think is, I sound like my dad. You know, my dad gave me the rundown when I was a teenager on how much it costs to make a loaf of bread in the bread maker, including the electricity and the water. But I've never done the same. So it's 30 cents. 32 cents per serve of oats, but then the slow cooker, like, what is this? Why are they so good? So I did a bit of looking into it. So on high for 2 hours, it costs about 18 cents to run a slow cooker. So you've got 18 cents of electricity for 4 serves of breakfast. And then even if you heat up in the microwave the next day, which I did think about that.
You use Triple R's electricity. For
Thank you, Mummy. 1,500 watts microwave for 5 minutes would be about 3 to 4 cents. So, and an oven as a comparison is 54 cents to 90 cents per hour to run. So it's just an interesting way to look at the cost of things and to be mindful if it is expensive at the moment. Yeah. So I'm like, what can we do? So I just love making.
And if you use raw oats, would they go mushy?
They would just be. I really love steel cut oats because they have a bit more flavour because they're less processed. So that little grain keeps all of its nutrients inside because it hasn't been squashed yet. Rolled oats would just be they would be a lot thicker and you probably don't need to slow cook them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I read about the porridge championships and the guy that won.
Golden Spurtle?
Yes. Mm. And he did butter and steel cut oats, I'm sure. But he put butter in it. It's like, the dude.
But there's butter in these.
Yeah, a little bit of butter. Salted butter, because then that gives it a little bit of seasoning as well. So it's like, yum.
And he's so outstanding.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I feel so nurtured. I feel so cared for.
It's high in fiber. We need to eat more fiber. It's got really good slow release carbs, low in sugar, although I did put in a little bit of sugar and a little bit of honey, because, we're human. It's got, per 100 grams, it's got 14 grams of protein. So all the protein buffs out there, don't be scared of the carbs, babe.
And then, so the glass was hot as hell when he gave it to us.
Oh, was it?
In a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, nice. So imagine putting that in the microwave and then going to run to the tram, having it in your pocket, like a little hot water bottle. I was thinking, wouldn't that be nice? Like, a little bit of comfort at home. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I just, the advantages just don't end. Yeah. Just keeps.
The care and the love, I love that about making food from home and then you take it to somewhere else, like either if it's at work or even travelling, if you're going up the Hume Highway and you stop at a roadhouse, don't go into the buy the food, get your little picnic out. Like, just be those smug people underneath the shelters with their amazing food. I love that. So it's a really nice way to eat oats, and it's a lovely to not have to wash up the dishes and have those jars, and then you can just pop the jars in the dishwasher or wash them up by hand and then have it for the next week.
We're whacking that pics of that food porn up online, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I got a couple of pics.
Okay, beautiful.
Because there'll be nothing left.
Emma Dean, thoroughly, as Mon said, very nourishing and heartwarming, as always.
A pleasure.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Triple R on FM, digital, online and via the app.
Breakfasters, we welcome the orgie accepting Miss Irvi Majumda.
Hey guys, how are you?
Thanks. This is my bride.
So don't stop clapping.
To find out, let's jump into it. Bron was awarded the first ever prize for stand-up at the Orgies in January. Back in February. I got the best. So she wrote a funny speech. I got to go up and accept it, and everyone laughed. And it was just the best night because I got to carry on this award and pretend like I'd gotten it when I had it. Now, after months,
I didn't drop it off the way. Wow, this is real.
Let's hope it's not broken.
Oh my god, yeah.
This is the big reveal. Are you pretending to be this the first time you've seen it?
Yeah, she hasn't seen it.
Oh wow, okay.
And held it in her own hands.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
well, hold it up, picture. I want to see. Wow, that's a weapon.
Wow, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Actually, oh my god, that's the most basic thing you could possibly have seen.
That's what they all say.
Get on stage and say it's heavy. And they say that in writing.
Thank God I wasn't there. Yeah. No, she wrote this amazing speech that I got to just talk to Patrick Rammel and people like that.
That's beautiful.
Well, in comedy, usually there's like a certificate.
Yeah.
So this is.
They do not splash out.
You wouldn't be allowed to take that on a flight.
Well, I did. Well, hand luggage.
You kill someone with that.
Can I say, and it's glass, and already the fingerprints on it are out of control.
It is. It's also freezing.
It's going straight to the pool room.
What the hell?
Straight to the pool room.
Yeah. Maybe he's been carrying around an esky. She didn't know what to do. Well, this will protect it.
It's
like literally an ice pick. Like, it looks like it's pointy like
one. It does. We'll have to take a photo and put it on socials for you guys.
Yeah, no, we should keep describing it.
No. We'll just...
You've done it, Irby.
If you're good at your job, they'll be able to picture
God, it. God, it says 2025 on it. That's how old it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. But that's okay because he's still an amazing writer. Even better probably now.
So, yeah.
Okay, guys. He's trying to ruin us. What else is going on with you?
Oh, I'm just talking about writing. I've been, I teach English. I do like casual teaching, as you know, sometimes at your school. Your sister's school too, Daniel. So recently, not at that school, a different school, these kids were talking and passing around a note and I confiscated it. And the girl, she was like, at the end, she's like, please, can I have my note back after school? And I was like, no way, I'm definitely not giving you. I was just like, no way, it's just like for me to read. Because, like, I've never confiscated a note before. And I was like, obviously.
I was going to ask, it's something you've done before.
No, I've never gotten. Yeah, I was just like, I couldn't wait for the day to be over. So I was like, I'm going to read this. And I opened it up because you looked so scared and stuff, and I looked it up, and it was so lame. It's like it just all it said was so 6-7 I bored.
Oh, wow.
Not even grammatically correct, just I bored. And I just couldn't believe it. So I just feel like it was like this generation, they just need to grow up. I was in school, we wrote like horrendous notes and like always got caught. It was just like a rite of passage.
And really long ones as well.
Yeah, so I had like the details of my entire like adult sex life, as in what I imagined it would be like written out, and then my mom found it. It's just like, no.
So you're just writing your own erotica. Yeah.
And then Irby.
I was like, I will have 7 husbands.
7 husbands is what's cool.
Yeah. I'm greedy.
I still think about a note that in year 10 a friend passed to me and the teacher took it and I never got to see it.
Oh.
And we were passing notes back and forth and it was like a really scintillating conversation. I still am like, I'll never know.
Oh, no.
Because then afterwards she's like, annoying. Oh, I don't know. I think we had like... We just rolled onto class after class, and then she's like, I can't remember what I said.
Mm. Oh, really?
It sounds like you missed a real classic.
We're not friends anymore. Oh, it's like, what did he like me? I want to know.
I said this online, and lots of people had things to say. It seems to be like, lots of people had opinions, and I've probably got like 10 responses of people being like, people found my note, and then I just like ripped it up and ate it. so the teacher wouldn't see it. Like, seems to be a lot of paper eating happening back in the 2000s.
Yeah, I reckon I saw that.
Yeah. When Liz was in primary school, they saw their teacher hand the tuck shop lady a note. And so she had a smaller friend who they lifted up and fit through the bars. And she went through the bin and found it, and they were having an affair.
No way!
What did they say?
Busted them.
Whoa!
What note passing?
Between adults.
Between adults.
Oh, just have a conversation.
Yeah.
That's less traceable.
Have a conversation and don't just put the whole thing in the bin. Like, why would you not rip it up?
Children are watching.
Yeah.
So they passed a note, and how did they know having an affair? Did it say, you're so sexy?
Yeah, they're probably doing what I was doing, but like,
I imagine that's an adult. People sorry, you're having affairs.
I don't know what. The chico roll in the head. Was it bad? Like, was it meet me behind the bike shed at 4 p.m. or was it like
it was bad?
Here's what I want to do to your tuck shop lady.
Liz told her mum about it, and then she said, "My mum never in my life signed up for tuck shop duty until that day."
Oh my god!
Oh, because she wanted the goss. Like,
I mean,
or she wanted to have an affair as well. Like, this is the place to be.
Oh, so a little from column A, a little from column B.
That's the best. That's so good. That's awesome. Did you pass notes in your school?
Look, no, I mean, 6-7 I bored. There could be something.
Maybe it's code.
Maybe it is code. Yeah.
It could be code, or she played you.
Yeah, maybe it's like if I looked, maybe they're like writing in like lemon juice or something.
Pardon me.
You need to get the
blue light out.
Yeah.
I should have. I'd be even more disappointed. Yeah. This is like nothing there.
Are there paper planes? Do they still happen?
Yeah, they do paper planes. I just feel like, yeah, this generation, they don't really go out as much and they don't really do anything cool. So
they've got nothing to write about to each other.
Yeah.
It's I like, was kind of like more like, I found it quite heartening that they're still passing notes. I thought,
yeah.
They're all on their phone.
Yes.
Well, it's not got analog.
Is anyone standing on the desk during those spirals on the fans? Or
no, we didn't do that here.
You didn't do that.
Okay, all right. It's a good Queensland thing.
What do you mean?
Well, as the fan is spinning, you hold your texter up to it and then you slowly move it out.
Oh.
And then when it turns off, it's got a spiral on it.
It's artistic. That's yeah. cool.
No, people are still doing those S's, like the
still
see S's. The S that yeah, you do.
I still draw them sometimes. Yeah.
They're fun. I like eyeballs. I feel like that people draw them.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, I still do that.
Have any parents come to see your show?
I don't think so, but teachers have, so that's been fun. But I don't think any parents yet, but sometimes, yeah, when I worked at my old job, some parents used to come, which is cool.
Mm.
And now the kids are all grown up.
What about old teachers of yours?
Oh, yes, my school psych.
Oh, that.
My psychologist, and she's like, okay, you're here now.
Is she still a psych at the school?
No, but she didn't seem, I couldn't really read her expression. She just
Which
like,
sounds like a good psych, right?
She just looked like she was just taking it in and didn't really have any responses, so...
Did you know, like, had you been in touch with her at
no,
all?
No, she just rocked up. Oh. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
You would, though, wouldn't you?
Did she hang around at the end?
Like, I would.
She said, well done. She's like, well done, Evie. And then and she just left.
Stony face. Well done, what? For the show? For turning? What do you mean? She's like, book
still
session.
Being here? Yeah.
We're out of time.
For still being here?
Yeah. For having the guts to do that.
Like, I'm glad that all my counselling led to this.
Oh, amazing.
But yeah, I feel like I've had ex students come as well. And I talk about it in the show. There was like one guy who we just like didn't see him after year nine, and he used to be like everyone, like he's just like the name of the staff room. Everyone's like, have you seen Draco? Well, it's just like always doing the wrong thing.
Mm.
And then like years later, he came to he was just like there, like as a full man at the show. And then afterwards he came up and he's like, yeah, keep going. I always thought you had something there. Like, I was like, don't give up. And then he like drove away in a BMW and I just had like a gold one. He was like so loaded because like, they all become tradies. And yeah, I was just like, okay, cool.
Can you pep talk from a 19-year-old dropkick? Thank you so much.
Have you been touring as well?
Yeah, I just finished touring. I'm doing the show one last time next week on Saturday at Comedy Republic.
Nice.
And it was really fun. Yeah, it's been really good in Melbourne, Sydney. I mean, all of the cities, actually. So, yeah, 7:30 next Saturday, 18th of July.
What about do we support in Zayn Hussain, or did I make that up?
Yeah, and in Perth, I think it was.
Yeah, right.
Yes, it was in Perth. Yeah, that was super fun. He's lovely. So I didn't have to do that, but then he was like, I was going to just fly her after a show. Sorry, it sounds sad, but it's like a normal thing to do. And he's like, no, you can soak it, which is like, yeah, he did not have to say that. He's like, come out of the cold and crying in the street.
If he has a psychic break, starts having 6-7 eyeball to everybody.
Yeah, he's like, you're creeping out the people. Please, just come and open instead. That was fun.
So if we want to see Miss, it's a part of the Replay Festival. You bring it back, baby.
Yes. Yeah, it's back, and it's going to be really fun.
The Comedy Republic.
Bring your students.
Your fun, do you want to pipe up?
I saw it. I loved it. My favourite show of Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Okay, wow. Huge. Yeah,
well done. Well done. Good to see that you're doing so well.
All right, Evie. Thanks heaps.
Thanks so much for having me.
Triple R.
Thanks for listening to the Best Bits of Breakfasters. Catch us live on Triple R every weekday morning from 6 till 9 a.m. or listen on demand at rrr.org.au or on the Triple R app. You can get in touch with us via Instagram, Facebook or the Triple R website.